Logging in tonight, and who came out tonight, and if you were out here tonight, something special is for you, just for you if you're here tonight, or if you're logged on and listening. I just want to bless those states that have been logging on, and I'll tell you, our numbers are really blooming, but I want you to email us, because I believe God's going to do some awesome miracles in your life. For one, I want to thank United States, because the United States, of course, is really banging. But we got China and Slovak Republic. Slovak. I'm going to bear with me with my pronunciation. Ukraine. We got the unknown nations, which is fourth there. And that's a combination of, what did you say, Rachel? Bunch of little countries. Man, they're banging. Estonia, France, South Korea, Brazil, Russian Federation, Italy, Portugal, Philippines, India, Great Britain, Nigeria, Luxembourg, Malaysia, Indonesia, Lithuania, Germany, Australia, Switzerland, Canada, Bosnia, Spain, Norway, Mexico, Kazakhstan. Romania, Colombia, Thailand, Georgia, Chile, Taiwan, Panama, European countries, Australia, Vietnam, Bulgaria, Netherlands, Sweden, United Arab Emirates, and Peru, and we got others. Oh, okay. Man, praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise to those countries that are logging on and listening. Well, I want to say thank you and email us so that I can speak into your life. I just know that God is doing some awesome things around the country. With that being said, I'm up here speaking because there's something inside of me that's burning. And it's not just because I feel like doing this. I just have to do it. It's burning, and I'm a testimony of what I'm saying is real supernaturally. And I've been trying to share people, let's face it, religion, the church, has destroyed what we call God, right? Wouldn't you agree? And I believe that we're living in a time where God wants to expose himself more so than ever. And I think that's why he did what he did in my life. And I know some of the other ones, like Brother Sam over here, God did something special in his life when we met, 15-something plus years ago, and that's a testimony in itself. We've traveled all over the world, and supernaturally, God sent us, and we didn't have any idea where we were going, but he sent us. In South Africa, if you're listening, we're not done with you yet. So, since I'm a living testimony of what God did, I want the world to understand who God is. But God doesn't exist. And this seems like my theme right now. God does not exist. But yet he does exist. And the reason why I say this is because you have to create God. How many people realize that you have to create God? You literally have to create him. And if you don't create him, he doesn't exist. And I feel really bad because there's a lot of gods out there that are created. They did it with some of these churches. They got the statues and they pray to these different gods. And then you have all the other gods around different nations that we can go over. Like India, was there like 44 something gods over there? But there's one true living God that needs to be created, and that's the God of truth. Now you have to say to yourself, what's the truth? What is truth? And so I don't really talk too much about out of this book. And if anybody understands this book is called the Holy Bible. And, you know, if you don't know about this book, I'd say get one. I've looked at a lot of books when my life was changed. And I think this is the one closest to the truth. And it has a lot of truth in it. A lot, all truth, nothing but the truth. So I like this book. But I'm going to speak about a out of a verse, which is called out of Hebrew. And if you were here on Sunday, and I encourage you to log on Sundays, because they're the basis of our messages, and that's when really we move. This is more of a refreshing, middle of the week, pick-me-upper kind of thing. But I'm going to speak about God and how to find God, because not many people know how to find God. And when I say you have to create God, you need to create God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so what's inside of you is already God Himself. If you can grab hold of what I'm saying. Inside of you, you already have God. And that creation that's inside of you is connected with Him by creation. Everything that you do all day long, you create. Think about it. You wake up, you're creating the day. You go to work and you hope to create income, right? What else do you think you create during the day? Got any idea? What did you create today? Think about it.
Try to create opportunity.
Create opportunity. There you go. And how did you work it? What did you follow? Your thoughts, inspiration, your heart. You just said, hey, I feel like I got to do this. I feel like, I want you to see that God is always working through us and in us. But people think it's just us, right? But it's not you. And when you can come out of yourself and start taking a higher power that's inside of you, then you'll begin to start seeing God in a very unique way. Because the reason why we don't see God is because we see our efforts. We see all of our efforts, and we see us actually accomplishing these things. But in the reality of it is, it's not us. It's God inside of us. And you'll understand in a minute. When I started out with this message, I started with trust and trying to work out trust. Last week, I spoke a little bit about belief, and I'm going to stay on belief a lot more. But belief does not exist. You have to create belief. You have to begin to create belief. If you don't create belief, you'll never be able to believe. Just like trust, I have to learn how to trust into something. I have to trust. Either you have to learn how to trust in yourself, you have to learn how to trust in others, or you have to learn how to trust in this higher power, which I call God. How many people are following me right here? Amen. Because trust is the very beginning of belief. And then belief turns into something that's really powerful that we have no clue or no idea what it even is. And it's called faith. I'm going to share something here in this book. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. And faith is a substance. And I look at faith as God itself. You know, I feel really bad to even begin to speak about something that has been beaten down and hurt so long. The church has destroyed God. Would anybody agree with this one? I mean, literally has destroyed it. How many people have tried to put their faith in something and felt failure all the time? Let down, never been able to really see the glory, I call it. And their hearts get hard. You got a hard heart? Think about it. How many times have we been disappointed and got a hard heart? Many times, huh? And that takes away God. When you have a hard heart, it takes away God. A hard heart puts unbelief inside of you and steals the possibilities of the supernatural. And when I talk about the supernatural, I'm talking about things that can't really happen in your life. Supernatural. Who believes in the supernatural? Good. Does anybody really believe about angels and life outside of your own life? Supernatural stuff? I never thought it was really real until it happened in my own life. I remember, and I'm going to pick on Sam a little bit because he's bringing back memories of when we went to South Africa. And the girls are laughing because they remember some of those stories. And I remember when we first planned, and I think we're ready for another vacation. Yeah. I don't know where, but I think we're ready. And he says, "Where are we going, brother? Where are we going?" I said, "I have no clue. All I know is we're headed this way in South Africa." Now remember, we have no idea where we were going. We had no relationships built there or nothing. But how did we do it? We did it by trust. We did it by faith. We did it by believing because we really felt in our hearts we were called. And then there was other supernatural things that took place, but we won't go into them right now. I want to use the basis of trusting and believing, and then faith created. To make a long story short, there's a guy in South Africa who applied this. Trust, belief, and faith. And what took place was he had a vision or a dream. He went up to the mountain to pray to this God that he created. And this God that he created told him that there was two guys coming from the east coast of America to see him and bring revival. I call this pretty interesting, pretty powerful. This is something that cannot be put together. This is supernatural. And this testimony will stay with me forever.
He told your travel agent to pick a hotel anywhere in South Africa.
That's right. I told the travel agent to pick the hotel
anywhere.
Anywhere.
He picked it right by the
guy. Right there.
Anywhere in South Africa.
Anywhere in South Africa.
The guy said that he's been a record fire.
Come on up here and share that. Share what you know. Because this is something that the people have to begin to understand how trust and belief and faith and how we create God comes into existence, because it brings it all in. Share that.
We were sitting in his office and I said, "Where are we going to stay?" And he said, "I have no idea." And he called his travel agent right there and he tells his travel agent, "Pick a hotel anywhere in South Africa." So I hit him and I said, "What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? South Africa's huge." He goes, "Don't worry about it. It's all going to work out." So the travel agent goes, "Well, I got one here called Beacon Island Hotel. It's here in Plettenberg." And we landed, and we didn't meet this guy for a couple days. And I'm still pushing him, saying, "Are you sure we were supposed to come to this place? Are you sure we were supposed to come to this hotel?"
Dude, you were freaking out.
And I was like, I was angry because I wanted to have fun. And he goes, "All right, let's go have fun for you so you'll shut up." So he took me to a safari after 2 days of, you know, just going through fighting. And on this safari, we met this kid who was working the safari. And we told him we were here while we were there. And while we were on the safari, the kid turns around and says to he and I, he said, "You guys have to meet my pastor." And that was the end. Because
didn't he lead that church too, and he just got back?
He left the church. I think he left the church, period.
Yeah, and he's like, "You got to meet my pastor.
You got to meet my pastor." Yeah. And because pastor told me we were going to meet a man over there who knew we were coming, we're going to come bring revival. And then the boy gave us the pastor's number. We went to lunch with him at a mall, and the pastor, Pastor Jim said to him, "We've come to bring revival to your church." And this man started weeping. And he said, "God just showed me in a dream that two men were coming from America with fire under their feet, and they're going to bring a revival to this whole country."
Yep. Isn't that awesome? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, because, you know, I was never like this until my life changed. And then I said, you know, this is a substance, man. I'm gonna put together and apply in my own heart. We did bring revival. I'll tell you, we came back. They set everything up. We had revival, and rest is history. And I want to bless Johan if he's listening, because I'll tell you what, we're not done yet. We're not done in South Africa. We went after that four more times or something, brought revival. But the thing that I'm trying to say is God has a life for you, an exciting life, a life that you can't comprehend or even imagine. And if we can just like come into this realm, I say there's two paths. One path that leads to destruction, one path that leads to a life. And that life is narrow. Not many people find it. And the reason why it's narrow and people can't find it is because it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of you to just throw your hands up and say, okay, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to trust in God. Now, those that are listening, those that are here today, if you never really, let's say, if you have a sick and tired life, you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you got a life that just has no pizzazz, no, it's death. Yeah, same old, same old. You're like insane. Wake up, do the same thing over and over again. You have no joy, you have no peace. There was a verse that was given to me before I came in here. He says, what do you got if you gained the whole world but lost your soul? What did you really gain if you got everything that you want but you lost your soul? You know, people take that losing your soul as going to hell or something. Ooh. Nah. First of all, me personally, I don't really believe in hell, so to say. I believe that there are places, heavenly places. And it even says, in that book there called the Bible, that there are places and he prepared a place for you. And I look at it as the closer you are to the core of the glory, the greater peace and joy you're going to have. The further away that you are from that core of glory, that's where you're going to fall into that tormented mishap, so to say. For example, let's say you have a loved one. And you're away from that loved one for a long time. How do you feel? Empty. You feel like something's missing. Next thing you know, you're like in a little bit of a torment because you're just thinking about it all day long. And, you know, and you're constantly pondering, what are you doing? Where's she at? Whatever it might be. That's what I call hell, where you're distant from your love. Well, getting back to the beginning of what I was about to say, the lost soul is a peace and a joy and a righteousness, a place where you haven't done anything wrong. First of all, none of us has done anything wrong, but you have to come to that place that you didn't do anything wrong. You know how many of us feel guilty right here alone? If I could weigh it out, I feel a heaviness right now, a heavy weight of guilt right now. And I'm very sensitive in this realm. I could tell guilt. I could see it. I could feel it. And I feel a heaviness right here tonight. And I just hope and pray that you guys break out of it, or whoever's carrying this real heavy guilt, I hope you break out of it, because first of all, you didn't do anything wrong. And I hope those that are listening here tonight realize that they didn't do anything wrong. Okay? We all have a path, you know, and we have to let it down. We have to let it go. Okay? Nobody taught us how to live life. Nobody. We had parents who were supposed to bring us up. Nobody taught them how to live life. You understand? So nobody knew anything on how to live. And then to top it off, we got these laws and rules and regulations that we're supposed to be following. Did anybody get hit with this one? This was one of my favorites. You didn't send me a birthday card. Or you didn't send me a Christmas card or something. You know, look, we all have a busy life. How many of you have ever forgot to send a card? And did you hear about it? Oh, my God, and it never ends, over and over and over and over. So to save a soul is to come out of guilt and shame, and to come into peace and joy. And to obtain that, you enter into a life that none of us has ever experienced. You know what we're experiencing right now? A life of death. A life of death. Think about our thoughts. How many of us ever have positive thoughts that everything's going to be working out okay? How's your thoughts? Are your thoughts attacking you day in and day out? Maybe not Sam, because he's got a good foundation on this. If you don't have this truth, then you don't have God, because God is truth. God is the one that sets you free, but it's the truth. Why worry about tomorrow when tomorrow takes care of itself? But I also truly believe that when you get free from guilt, you break from that, and then you start obtaining a joy and peace in your life, you open up a world that is not even known by man. And every desire that you want comes into pass. Your heart's filled. Right now, we're walking a path of death. And maybe some of you might know this, maybe some of you don't know this, but there is another realm, a supernatural realm, that is looking to kill you and destroy you. Like Rachel, you have this pain inside of you right now, right? What do you think this pain is? Do you think this pain is a scientific pain, a medical pain? It could be an attack. I think it's an attack. Now, you have to look back at your life and see what you're coming into. What pressure are you carrying right now? What is stealing your joy and your peace? And I guarantee that's connected to it. Guarantee. Guarantee. What happened maybe about a week or a couple days prior to you feeling that pain? What took place? Something altered your thoughts. Your heart got troubled. Maybe pressure. Maybe too much with worrying about the child, the new baby. See, don't answer these yet. Just think about them, because you'd be surprised how we lose sleep. What takes our thoughts? And then it starts robbing us. Things are, I believe, personally, I think everything is spiritually connected. Everything. Everything is spiritually connected. And a lot has to do with it. 99.9% has to do with how much guilt, shame that we carry, and how much joy and peace that we have in our lives. And then it gives authority for our thoughts to go crazy, to rob our joy and peace. So anybody ever hear that verse, a little leaven spoils a whole bunch? Okay, you let a little bit come in, and all of a sudden a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace is stolen. Next minute you know, wah, 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 wah. And if you feed it, it gets worse. To the point where you're over here saying, I got to make a decision. I got to get out of here. I got to run. If you allow it, it feeds and keeps feeding until it destroys you. And then it wants to take your life. How many have ever felt that way before? Amen. Because it's important to know the attacks. We are under attack.
All the time.
There's a verse before faith comes. I'm going to read this because I found it very interesting. It says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you were endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. And then it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that afterwards you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The only thing the will of God is to obtain righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the only will of God. That's the only will of God. Everybody's like, oh, I want to do the will of God. Oh, I want to do the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? I want to do it. I want to serve them. I want to go feed the poor. I want to do this. I want to do that. What is the will of God? I just want to be in the will of God. Well, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. Tearing down those strongholds that are in your head. Tearing down the imagination that exalts itself over the knowledge of Him. Tearing all those lies and those things that are trying to put guilt and shame on you. Tearing down the past because you can't do anything about it. How many people can do anything about the past other than going back and restoring the relationship that was destroyed? You can't do anything about the past. Nothing. You can't do anything. The past is done. And then also peace and joy. That is the will of God, period. And you know how hard it is to obtain righteousness, peace, and joy? I'm not going to lie to you. It's difficult. It's probably one of the hardest things anybody can do. That's why it says narrow is the road. Narrow. Skinny.
Few that are
find it. Few that are find it. That's right. They give up. This is why I want to encourage all of us to, myself, believe me, I'm on a path that leads to a life. And I don't know what the life is, nor do I even care about it. But I know the life that I'm on is a lot better than where I was headed. A lot better because, first of all, I can experience just a little bit. I can't even wipe a smile off my face half the time. I'm like trying to wipe this thing off. I remember not too long ago, this person says, you're always smiling. Why are you always smiling? I'm like, I don't know. I have bad days too, you know. But I'm always smiling, and it's because I lost my life. I lost it. Does anyone understand what it is to lose their life? You know, troubles are going to come. Tomorrow, I'm going to have troubles. I got a lot of troubles, believe me. You might think, oh, you probably have everything going for you. But every time I turn around, another day, right, of some kind of news. Every day, we face troubles. Every day. But are you going to let those troubles haunt you? You're going to let those troubles steal your joy? You're going to let those troubles create imaginations in your head? They can't do anything to you. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you. How bad can it really be? Think about it. How bad can it really be? You know what upsets my heart the most? When people hang on to things that are totally meaningless. It's like, why are you letting this person steal your joy? Why are you letting that thing steal your joy? Why is your subconsciousness in pain? How many people are following me here? You know, I cry when I see depression. It hurts me really, really bad. You know, ever since my life changed, my eyes opened up into a different place and I see things and it rips my heart out. I can't talk about them because the first thing that dark spirit inside them says, nah, nah. And then you're walking around like one big fat liar. Nah, no, no. You sure? No. Because when you bring light to a dark place, it's got to go. That's why I try to share, if those that are listening, those that are here, please believe me. Don't deny what I say to you, because what is denying the words that I say to you is darkness that's inside of you. Period. That's it. Because that darkness doesn't want to leave. That darkness wants to stay there and destroy your life. It doesn't want to leave the house. Think about it. Would you want to get kicked out of your house? No. Right away, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? You don't want to get kicked out. Well, that's the same thing with this realm. It doesn't want to get kicked out. They don't want to go. And when you come into this place, and someone can see the darkness wants to protect its house. That's why a lot of people can't even receive this truth that I have. I might say some things tonight, and you might think it's off the wall. Oh, no way. How could that possibly be? Just like God doesn't exist. You know how many people come against me and I say that? Oh, how can you say that? How can you say that God doesn't exist? He doesn't. He don't exist. I'm sorry. He don't exist. If he exists, why is your life the way it is? You believe in him? Why is your life the way it is? Look at you. You're miserable. Look at you. You have no life. You have no hope. Come on. Where's your God at? Where is it? I've been a Christian for 30-something years. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a Christian for this year. And I always have God in my life. He's the one that gets me through the day. He didn't get you through the day. You got through the day. You got through the day. He didn't get you through the day. You got through the day. Where's your peace? Where's your joy? Are you thinking about yesterday? If you keep thinking about yesterday, you have no God. I'm going to tell you, when you have God in your life, tomorrow does not exist, and yesterday don't exist. The only thing that exists is the present, the omnipresent. Now, listen, it's good to have memories. It's good to have pictures, I guess. You know, you can have them. How many people picked up a picture and got depressed over it? Huh? You got memories? Those memories depressing you? You see, get rid of the memories. Get rid of the depression. Get rid of it. I don't like to have pictures around in my house. Whether I remember when I looked good. I was skinny back then. I'm happy. You don't have to show me about yesterday. Yesterday doesn't exist. I don't need any symbolic depression in my head. My God exists. My God exists because I created him. I created him in truth. He's for me, not against me. You see? And I know it says here, it says, when I began to start talking about faith, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Does that speak God right there? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can anybody see God? Can you see him? You can if you really look hard enough. You see the glory of God. But can you physically see him? No. But do you have a hope for him? Let me ask you this question. Do you have a hope for a new life? Okay. And is that life yours? You would hope so, right? But who's going to give you a life? You see, you're hoping for something. And who's going to give it to you? Who created you to begin with? God created us from the very beginning, and we're actually in hope for a new life. So what are we hoping for? Actually, we're hoping for God. We're hoping for God, the evidence of the things not seen. We're hoping for God. But I'm going to tell you right now, God doesn't exist. God exists when you begin to create him in truth. And when you know the truth sets you free. The truth gives you a life. The truth gives you a life. And faith, it says, without faith you cannot please God. It says here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Right there. If you're going to come to God, you got to believe that he is. Is what? That's the question. He is what? I'm going to say he is a new life. I can tell people who have God in their life by the measure of peace and joy and righteousness in their life. I can tell. If their life is all upside down and turmoiled, walking around with depression, they don't have God. They don't know him. And how many do you think really has God in their life? Not many. Nope. They confess that they have it, but their heart is so far from them. So far from them. But I'm going to make a change. I'm going to change that. I'm going to show people how to have God. It's going to take a fight. How many people are willing to fight? How many people are willing to work out? Let's say this. You know, every day you got to work it out. Every day you have to exercise your brain because you're wired messed up. We were born in sin. This is what it's called, born in sin. Okay, it's not that you were a bad person. Not that you did something bad. Josh, I bet you really put a lot of weight on your shoulders. Yep. I see it. It's all over you, dude. You're dripping with it. Shake it off. You see what I'm saying? Shake. Yeah, that's it. Hey, listen, something happened. I felt it. Okay? You're in the right path. Okay? Listen, if you never did what you did, that little puppy wouldn't be here. I love that little puppy. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to hold it and squeeze it, and I'm never going to let it go. You understand? I love that little puppy. So you did something wrong? I don't think so. That's what you got to, rewire your brain. We are under sin, so to say. We're under it. We're under a curse. Do you know we're under a curse? We're under a curse, and we got to break that curse. We got to break it. There's no do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. The only thing that we have to follow is what's right here. Right inside, you got the power of what is right and wrong living inside of you. I can't judge you. You feel as though that you're living a right law, a right life. Who am I? That's what it comes down to. Who am I to say that you're living right and you're living wrong? This is the problem with the world. They walk around with too much judgment. Everybody's judging everybody. Now, I judge, but I judge in righteousness. When I say nobody has God, that's a righteous judgment because it's evident. I see it. Walking around with depression, walking around with anxiety and suicidal thoughts and all these other things. Nobody's like bubbling up full with joy. No one has, there are too many cares. Now, I have a lot of concerns, but those concerns don't rob my peace and my joy. I have a life. I have to live. I have to live today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may be... So I'm going to make the best of it today, right? There's sometimes I catch myself, I go into a deep thought pattern. My girls are always, Dad, there you go. You're zoning out. I got to come back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm back. Most of the time, I just need to rest. When I get my rest, then I'm back again. I think fatigue is an enemy that we have to be very, very careful about. How many people get really tired? Well, I tell you, if you're getting tired, go rest. Stop running around like a nut. Go get some rest. And then once you rest, you're going to feel rejuvenated and feel good. And then you can get your life back together again. Today, we live in a world that you can't get any rest. I remember when I was a kid, man, this is going back a long time now. Television used to shut off at what, 12 o'clock? And you'd have the president's flag flying or something and the anthem song. How long ago was that? That was pretty long, wasn't it? Now it don't shut down. The world don't shut down. It's going and going and going. I remember stores used to shut down on Saturday nights or something, and nothing was open on Sunday. Forget about it. It's just constantly running, 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 running. Running so fast, you can't breathe. And forget about trying to create a living. It's tough. It's tough. The world is going and going and going. I think this is a perfect time to start finding God. I think it's a perfect time to find God because, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Those out there, there's nothing wrong with you. You're doing the best that you can. Don't put so much guilt and shame on yourself. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. You can't stop time. You can't control what is happening. It's burning. It's very hard to put out the fire. And that fire is burning. Let it burn. But walk through the fire with joy. Walk through the fire with peace. Walk with the through the fire that you didn't do anything wrong. And you're going to see God. You're going to see the glory of God. I know the glory. And I am so excited about going deeper into the glory. Supernatural things begin to happen when you're in the glory. Opportunities and doors open up that you can't shut. And then those doors that you want shut are going to shut and never be opened up again. Your life is given to you. It says if you do the will of God, then you receive the inheritance. There's an inheritance for all of us. A reward. Ken, there's a reward for you. Do you understand? There's a reward. How do you think you get that reward? It's time for you to cash in, isn't it? Don't you feel as though that you did enough now? That it's time? Don't lose hope. See, the problem with most of us is that we are so worn down. And we've done good. And we don't get any of that reward. It's almost like, what did I do that I don't have my reward? It's not that you did anything. It's what you said. What did I do that I didn't get my reward? That's what you did wrong. Your reward is here. Just get out of what did I do wrong that I didn't get it. Cast down the lies. See, we grew up in it. Every time supposedly our guardians, I'm going to call them guardians, every time they got aggravated with you, what did they do? They yelled at you. They punished you. They put guilt on you. Go to your room. Go to your room. Shut up. Go to your room. I'm tired of hearing you. Go to your room. Tired of looking at you. Go to your room. We were born in it. How many of us got smacked around when we were younger? Good. Yeah, well, you can thank them for smacking you around because they put death on you. Think about it. None of us should have been put in that place. Now we just got to get out of it. Look, I'm probably the chief smacker around, or not me doing the smacking. I got smacked around. I got a lot of smack around. I got free from something not too long ago, and I thank God I got free from it. A principality that was over my life that caused an individual to smack me around just to shut them up. But I'm free. I'm free. And I'm so grateful because I want to see others come into freedom. I'm free. I found the road that leads to everlasting life. And I want you to find it too. I know what's bogging us down. If we can just get out of the little things, start chipping at it, start knocking it down, finding those things that are stealing your peace and joy. What is it? You see, what is literally stealing your joy? What is stealing your peace? And find it and start doing something about it. Start kicking it out. If you have to talk to somebody, sit that person down and say, listen, we got to resolve an issue here. If they want to listen, great, you'll save their souls. You'll save both of them. Both of you will be happy. If they don't want to listen, then you got to say to yourself, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? It takes two. It takes two. Most of your issues and problems revolve around somebody else. You know that? Most of your problems and your issues revolve around somebody else. If you can live alone and not have to deal with anybody, you'd live a good life. If you have provisions, Sam always says that. If you have provisions, you can live a really good life. Leave me alone. I'm cool. I got my water. I got my roof over my head. I'm got my TV and my remote in my hand and my good fluffy couch. Leave me alone. I'm fine. And then as soon as you have to get involved with somebody, that's it. All hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. We have to learn how to live with people. We have to realize what is causing the sandpaper. Everybody, I've probably got a lot of sandpaper. You see? It goes two ways. It's not one way, it's two ways. But at the same time, we've got to learn to live together and then be able to find the common goal. Find the common goal in life and then move on. Peace and joy and righteousness are the three greatest, biggest keys in your life to find a life. And then supernatural things start to occur. How many want supernatural in their life? Shelly and I and the kids, didn't we just experience supernatural? Were your eyes open to something very exciting? It was awesome. Did you hear this yet, Sam? It just happened the other day. We were pulling. Girls, you want to share? Sarah, come here. You're a good storyteller. Tell them what was happening. We were driving in the car.
We were driving in the car, and we come to this turn, you know, by the Shell station.
Right up here, at the corner.
And we see this big pole with a brand new traffic light, and it said, no left on red. And there was a red arrow on the traffic light, and it was red. And we all looked up at it, and we all saw it, and we're like, that's interesting. When did that come there? We haven't been gone there for that long. So we made our right, and we went back home. Next day, we come back out, and we make that turn. We look up, and the light's gone. And we're looking for a broken bracket. There's nothing there. It just completely vanished.
Yeah. Now, that was supernatural. Does it have a meaning to it? No. But we all saw it. We're over here going, who put this traffic light up? It's a brand new traffic light. What stirred it up was I went to the girls and I said, what corner was that traffic light that we saw? Because I just drove back from that direction and I didn't see it. And they were like, it was the Shell station corner. And I'm like, it's not there. Why? It's not there. Come on, we'll get in the car. Rachel was over there that week. It was only last week. We got in the car. We drove by. Sure enough, it wasn't there. Now, we're not going nuts. I can see if it was just one person that saw it. Maybe I'd say, okay, I went nuts. But it was me, Shelly, and all three of these girls saw the same thing. That's supernatural. My eyes were opened up to a world that exists. But don't exist. We can't see it. And why I use this testimony, and I thank God because it allowed my girls to go to another level, it allowed Shelly to go to another level, allowed me to go to another level, because righteousness, peace, and joy, you're coming into the kingdom of God. You're coming into a realm that doesn't exist, but it exists. It's more real than what the world you live in right now. The world that we live in, this place right here, is a lie. It doesn't exist. The world that we're going into exists. The supernatural world that we're going into exists. Now, it's hard for me sometimes to talk about the supernatural because it's a turnoff to a lot of people sometimes. Sometimes it's so far-fetched that they can't comprehend. But if you apply what I'm saying and you start applying righteousness, peace, and joy in your life, suddenly, something's going to happen to you. You're going to see something that you've never seen before, and then you'll be the nut standing up here talking like me. You'll be the nut over here saying, you know, I really don't like talking about this because it's really hard for people to believe, but what just happened. You can't hold it back. As much as I want to hold it back, I can't hold it back. Because it's real. It happened. I know if it was just me, I know I was nuts. But it wasn't just me. It was four other people. And I'm very, very grateful, because one of the things that this book says, the Bible, it says that when you come into salvation, your whole household will come into salvation. And my whole household saw my peace and joy and my righteousness. And so I'm talking to those men here. If you come into salvation, your whole household will roll into it. You don't even have to get them to do anything, even though it's nice for them to cooperate and help you with your peace and joy and righteousness. And that's all I'm doing, is asking from my children and my wife, help me. You see? I don't want you to come into salvation. Help me come into salvation. Because if I come into salvation, you'll be saved. That's what's so cool about it. So if you're a man here that have some kind of a family, Jake, I know you got a family, right? You see what I'm saying? Now, right now, it might be like weird. You know, she's over here and you're over here and you got the little noodle right now, right? And there's a little separation going on. But I don't believe it. You come into righteousness, peace, and joy, and guess what? All of a sudden, you're going to start looking like a beautiful flower to her. And she's going to have all gagas. Oh, why are we living separated? Let's get back together. Oh. And she's going to fall in love with you. Madly in love. Madly. You hear what I'm saying? Isn't that the desire of your heart? I know, I see it. It's pounding. Boof, boof. And you know what? Hear my words. It will come to pass. Follow me, and you will have everlasting life. Hear them. Receive them. Because all you got to do is brush off the guilt, start having the joy and peace, and bam! It's there. It's there. Just a little bit more. Just got to walk over a little bit more. Couple more steps and you're there. It's there. She's already changing right now. Yep. Thanks for the witness. Because I'm telling you what I see. It's happening right now. And that's so beautiful, because that was my desire too. So that you can see God. I want you to see God so bad, so that you can witness to this guy. And say, listen, dude, you know, I didn't know him, and I took five easy steps, which were the hardest ones in my life, and I see him. You see, I need a couple more guys like you that are foolish enough to believe me. Because when they see you, see God. And when they see you, see God. Hear what I'm talking about? Man, think about it. Who are we? Who are we? It would be different if I had the black coat on and the white collar and looking real good and floated across the air. Ooh, you know how I got this righteousness? You're all sinners. Listen, sin does not exist. It doesn't exist. You know who makes sin exist? We do. We make it exist. I know I'm clean. I may not look like a clean dude, but I'm clean. You know, there's times where I have to battle with thoughts. There's times where I have to battle with my actions. There's times where I have to battle with anger and all that. But that's not a sin. None of that is a sin. You know what a sin is? Not doing the will of God. That's right, suffering. Not doing the will of God. That means not walking in righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the sin. Right there. Selfishness is a biggie. Because that puts us in depression. Oh, I'm never getting what I want. Oh, this doesn't work. You know, selfishness kills. Selfishness kills. Take yourself out and you'll live. The reason why we're walking in death is because it's all about you. It's all about you. You know how much pain you feel right now? I don't feel any pain. You know why? Because I'm not here. Yes, you are, Jim. You're standing right up there. No, I'm not. I'm not here. If you see me, you see the Father. I'm not here. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but knees will never hurt me. I'm not here. How many people are still here? You see? I'm not here. And I hope and pray that you come to this place and realize the truth so that the truth can set you free. Create. Learn to create. You're full of creation. Learn to create. You know you have to create peace. We're so easily creating negativity. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, I have no money. I have this. I can't. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might get a check and it'll change your whole entire life. You don't know. She might be knocking at your door tomorrow saying, I'm sorry. Let's get back together. We shouldn't do this. Let's get married. What? You don't know who's talking in her ear. I think there's another side over there for you. I think they're coming around too, called the parents. It's working. Keep up. Keep doing the right thing. You know what's right? Love. Don't stop loving. Don't stop caring in that area of love. What are we going to do today? We're going to leave this place and we're going to create God in our lives. We're going to leave tonight. Those that are listening around the world, keep listening because you're going to find God. And I'm going to show you how to get to God. Follow my steps. First thing you got to do is start trusting and creating God. Create Him. Create Him in your heart. He's there. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's got a life for you. If you want to find this life, if you're sick and tired of living the life that you're living right now, it's time to say, okay, let me create this God. And then when you begin to start creating Him, start asking Him to come with you. Come on, let's go. Where are we going? It doesn't matter. Let's go. And bring them wherever you go. In your heart, bring them. And then start bringing your request to Him and watch. Search yourself. Be honest. Be as transparent as possible. And start finding out what's stealing your joy. What is stealing your peace. Look at the guilt and the shame that you're carrying. You have a subconsciousness. Go deep. You had things from the childhood. Start digging them up and find out what they are that's stealing your relationships and all these other things. Because they're rolling over. You're living that same life and they're rolling over and destroying your future. You gotta become who God really wants you to become. Those things have caused pain in your heart and that pain is rolling over. Has anyone ever heard of Misery Loves Company? Okay. We got misery buried deep inside of us, and that misery loves company, and it looks for it, and it's got to get fed. One of the things about darkness is it needs to eat. It's a food. We got to feed it in order for it to survive. If we keep feeding it, it's going to keep living it. We got to starve it. You got to learn how to starve your demons, I call it. And if you learn how to starve your demons, they're going to flee. We're filled with them. We don't realize it, but we're filled with them. They're hurts, they're wounds, they're things that happened in the past. We got to get rid of them. And the only way that we get rid of them is we recognize them, we bring them to the surface, it comes to the light, they hate the light, and then you throw them down, you throw the care down, and forgive yourself or whatever you got to do to let them go, and then they'll leave. And then you'll find that your peace and joy and your righteousness will get better and better and better, stronger and stronger and stronger. It's not a one-day fix, but if you work at it, I spoke a message about working out, trust, and you got to work at it. You got to work. You can't give up. You got to work. But as soon as all of a sudden, bam, you hit this breakthrough. And then when you hit this breakthrough, then you'll thank me. Right now, you probably hate me. Oh, man. But then you're going to thank me because all of a sudden, this breakthrough is going to come. And you're going to be like, wow, I feel so good. I feel so liberated. I feel awesome. Man, I could take on the world. I'm ready for my next chapter. Most of you right now are ready to close the book. You're ready to give up. But I don't want you to give up because you just began. If you're here right now, give me a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. The first thing I want you to do is come to a place of forgiveness. I want you to forgive yourself. I just want you to say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to hold anything anymore against me. I'm done. You got to come to that crossroads where you're saying to yourself, I'm done. If you're here tonight and you're listening over the web and you're there over in those nations, just say in your heart, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Put your foot down and say, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. And then make that determination. Make that choice in your heart. I'm going to create God. I'm going to find Him. I'm going to create Him. I'm going to make Him real in my life. You don't have to run around and grab a Bible and start reading it and all that. I tell everybody, don't read. Don't even bother. Put it down. Don't even go there. I want you to begin to start tearing down the thoughts in your head. I want you to go in and start taking the guilt out of your life, the shame out of your life, all the things that you think you did wrong. I want you to get them, and I want you to tackle them, and I want you to convince yourself that you didn't do anything wrong. And if you were a bad person, let's say you were unruly, let's say you were a snobby person or just a brat when you were younger. All right, agree with it. All right, I was a brat. I know I was a brat when I was a kid. I wasn't a spoiled brat. I was just a brat. We're all brats. All right. Accept it and move on. There are some things in our life that we did maybe do something wrong or we hurt somebody's feelings or what have you. But move on. Let it go. The decisions that you made them. And now it's time to grow up and let them go. It's time to put them to bed. Clean that up. And then you're ready for part two. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and I encourage those that are listening, those that are here, find a way to get out on a Sunday because we have our full service on Sunday and God really does some awesome things on Sunday. Wednesday is just a pick-me-up service, a little taste for the rest of the week. But please make it out on Sunday. Sunday I have a chance to minister on you. Sometimes the Lord reveals things to me and I can speak into your life. I gave Jake a little bit tonight. Jake, I want you to run with it, man, okay? I feel that some of that guilt and shame is already starting to fall off. You know what I see? I see a black slime that was clinged on you, and somehow or another it lost its grip and it's starting to slip off. Isn't that awesome? Yep, and it's just starting to slip off. I guarantee by the time you walk out that door, that thing's gonna fall completely off and you're gonna be like, wow, man, this weight on my shoulder, I feel really good. And you're not going to understand why. I'm going to tell you why. Because that black slime ball that was on your back just slipped off. And you're not carrying it around anymore. And man, I'll tell you, you're going to have different eyes now. You're going to see differently. Something inside of you is going to be like, wow, I can actually tolerate this. Where you couldn't tolerate it. You lose your fuse. Get a little angry. Not anymore. Because that slime ball was getting you there. Now the slime ball's not there anymore. That's what's cool. So I want to encourage you to come out on Sundays because then I start really speaking into your life, start showing you things supernaturally and all. And if you got any friends or whatever, tell them to come out, yada, 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 all right? Amen. All right, talk to you later.